Are you ready?
A Shot of Wrestling, episode 353, and away we go.
Bring some damn shot, boy. Is that the message you got? We about to go live, are you ready to rock? So take a shot. Oh, so take a shot. Oh, yeah. I'm a street breaker. I'm a heartbreaker. This is my dawn. I'm a bone breaker. Rick Flair, Nature Boy, about to seek and destroy. It's an SOW. Let me hear you make noise. Take a shot, boy. Is that the message you got? We about to go live. Are you ready to rock? So take a shot.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of A Shot of Wrestling. I'm your host, at Michael J. Putty. It is WrestleMania time, my second favorite show of the year. Joining me, as always, the paragon of virtue of A Shot of Wrestling, the one and only Marcus Schwann. Marcus, what's going on, buddy? WrestleMania season. How excited are you?
Wow. You are really in a good mood. You introduced me in a proper way. Wow.
A little kind of setting with the whole paragon of virtue thing, but...
Well, yeah, I mean, but you actually said my real name, so that's cool.
Marcus Schwann, right? Yeah, I said it.
Well, it's not really Marcus, I guess.
And people don't appreciate how much work you do for the show. You bust your ass for the show, and I don't think you get enough appreciation for what you do. You know, putting the show together, doing our social medias, interviews, you know. For a guy who got his WNBA in journalism, and this is the only thing you get the show for it, you know, you're doing a good job. You're doing a good job, buddy. Appreciate it.
My WNBA.
Whatever fucking letters you have at the end of your name.
It's. I mean, I did have a master's in journalism.
And but, I'm sorry. This is the only thing you have. I'm sorry, but you're making the most of it. Thank you. Thank you for appeasing us.
I knew this was going to come up.
How could it not? Like AJ said it to me. I'm like, wait, should I be offended? He goes, yeah, I think you should be. I'm like, okay, yeah. So I fucking ratted off a fucking nasty text message, tweet, and go fuck yourself.
Well, it's funny. So, all right.
A plus in context. A plus in condescending, by the way.
Here's some context for our listeners. So my dad found my bachelor's degree in a guest room underneath the bed.
Cut you off. That's not something you hold on to and keep? That's not something you just, at a certain point of age, you just discard when you move out?
Well, I'm working on getting a house, so I never had the space for it. So when I get my house, I definitely want that.
Okay.
So my dad sent it to me randomly. Hey, look what I found. I'm like, oh, that's nice. It just had me thinking, man. I have a bachelor's in broadcast journalism, master's in journalism. I was thinking, I don't use them. the only thing I do, I guess technically for it, is the podcast.
Sorry.
Right? Yeah. I have the background in. Do some commentary for BCW. But I have right now, it's currently $170,000 in student loan debt. So it's a bad investment. Very bad investment.
Do you have to apply for this forgiveness alone? I know it's up again, the student loan forgiveness. We've forgiven $30 billion in debt.
John
Oliver. And it's something you have to apply for. Because last week's episode of John Oliver, it's how much of a scam these loans are.
It's such a scam. I don't qualify, though.
They highlighted a woman who served in the military, and you're supposed to be excused for certain things.
Mm-hmm.
I think her loan was $80,000 or something, and she paid off $50,000, and yet her total balance was $100,000.
Yeah.
What is this? I'm feeling similar in credit card debt, but to that extent, it's fucking insane.
It's a similar scenario here for me. It's wild. I don't qualify because most of my loans are private, technically. So, private loans you really can't do anything with.
But loans are public.
I do have some, federal loans, but, I never worked in the public sector. I never enlisted or anything like this, so I wouldn't qualify for any of the programs where it would get absolved.
So I've heard of those programs before, but Joe Biden is forgiving student loans, or he's trying to. But
he's trying to, but already still, states
is that caveat?
States are suing, right?
All right, whatever.
So states are suing, so it's not going to happen. essentially.
But they've forgiven enough. They've forgiven a lot of people so far, from what John Oliver's telling me.
A lot of different people, but like, you know, I don't qualify for that. So good for whoever it for who it did affect. So that's awesome for them. Hopefully, my name will get called, or like, for whatever they're looking to do next. But like, honestly, I'm not expecting anything. You know, I'm just going to keep trucking away.
Yeah,
sucks. I hate it. Like, I feel like it, like that amount of student loan debt for like something I don't even really use. Like,
what do you want to do? Why'd you go for that?
What? Why did I go for it? I mean, it's so long ago. Why did I go for that? I originally went to school for marketing. I always wanted to be an actor, right?
You are
an actor. Yes, I am an actor. Thank you. But like, I wanted to go to LA initially right off the bat. But like, you know, my parents were really adamant that I went to school as like a safety net and, you know, just major something. And plus, like, there was a whole pressure of like the fact that like no one graduated from college in my family. So I kind of felt that I was like, I want to make my mom proud.
Nice.
So I went to school originally for marketing. That lasted like a semester. I was just like, this sucks over here. I don't like it, blah, blah, blah. And like, you know, I had a couple of buddies of mine in college, like they were going for broadcast journalism, and like they were telling me what they were doing. I was like, dude, that sounds awesome. So I switched majors. And yeah, I mean, like it really was something like I went for. It was more so looking back on it to appease my parents.
Did you have to do like a news on the college news or college radio?
Yeah, I did radio.
You have a reel?
I did some TV. What's that?
You have a reel of college stuff?
Don't. You think I would, but yeah, no, I don't. No. I also was like at one point too, I was focusing more on public relations. But yeah, dude, I mean, like, I guess these are stuff that are useful for me today, but it's not anything I'm doing professionally, like professional with it, where it's like, you know, I could pay off the student loan debt, you know?
Ladies and gentlemen, that was your shot of this week's getting to know Mark Schwann at a deeper level. We could be here all night, Mark. I feel like we got to tap into a lot of stuff. We could be here all night.
We could be. I could talk about student loan debt forever. So, like, you know, if you want to commiserate over some beers listening to this about student loans, let's go.
But in the meantime, let's move on and do your job, Marcus. Do your job that you're using your TQA to for. And tell us what we're trending this week.
All right, buddy. So this isn't necessarily like news, but it was just a trending topic throughout the week that I didn't necessarily know where to put this. So I'm going to put it here. Chan Man at Chandran the Man. We got chaos. We got superstars. We got unpredictability. We got cursing. We got fire promos. And we got blood. This is as close to the Attitude Era as we've seen in decades. Tonight's Raw was an all-timer. What a show. I agree, man. That show was absolutely fire. SmackDown, pretty much the same, especially towards the end. But what do you think? People are saying that WWE is in a new era, or that it's going to go back to the Attitude Era. Especially like it's talks about like it going to like rated R pretty much when it goes to Netflix. What are your thoughts on this? Has WWE entered a new era?
SmackDown towards the end. What are you talking about? It's fucking great. The ending was great.
And that, no, yeah, I'm saying SmackDown was good.
Is it towards the end?
I like SmackDown for the end. No, I said towards like especially towards the end.
Okay.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say yes yet. I mean, it's one show. Let's not get all eggs in our basket yet. But I heard we're going that direction. I heard somebody posted on some sort of social media platform. If it's the Attitude Era, we had the Ruthless Aggression Era, we have the PG Era. This should be called the Renaissance Era.
So I like the name of that.
So I thought that's a cool, catchy name. And that's basically what it is encapsulating.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's too early to tell. Because again, we're just doing one show. The Rock can do whatever the fuck he wants. Let me see like Kevin Owens do something like this. Let me see like Santos Escobar do something like this. Austin Theory. Then we'll have this conversation. The Rock, like I said, can do whatever he wants. He can curse. He can say what the fuck he wants. He can go overtime without being penalized. Mm-hmm. So are we in a new era? No. But I feel like we're heading in that direction, especially with the Netflix thing that you just said.
Yeah, I think the Netflix thing is going to be very interesting to see, like, you know, how this plays out. The Rock, you're right, is kind of like the exception to the rule. Like, you know, we've seen the past few weeks, like, well, I have, like, you haven't, I don't think, his social media promos,
Oh, yeah.
and those are definitely for a mature audience, if you will. Like, you know, lots of F-bombs, you know, just keep it very real, which I appreciate. I feel like also the production value too, what they're doing here, like, it just seems edgier. Like, yes, the Rock and Cody, we'll eventually get into that, but like that segment definitely was just like how it was shot, and like, you know, the effects of the I know they didn't plan for the rain, but like the rain coming down, the blood,
Added
it was
so much
just
to it.
oh my Lord, dude.
Loved it.
You know what it reminded me of? It reminded me of, have you ever seen the movie Training Day?
Yeah.
It reminded me of, like, the scene when Denzel is beating the fucking shit out of Ethan Hawke. And that's what it felt like. It did feel cinema. And then Bayley on SmackDown, when like they had the promo that they were running with Io Sky. By the way, fire promo by Io. And I like the fact they're doing that with her natural language,
Great.
kind of like they were doing with
Talking
Shinsuke.
with Shinsuke, and let's go off on a bit of a tangent here. It's just like I'm loving it because I said Shinsuke at the time, because they don't have to struggle to speak English. The emotion and passion comes out more.
Yeah.
And
Yeah.
we had a conversation like, well, eventually you have to go into the ring. Apparently not, because Shinsuke's yet to cut a promo in the ring, and it's just so much better. And that they're doing it with her, great.
And then, but then you see Bayley attack her afterwards. Like, that felt real. I
Yeah.
feel like this is the thing. Like, it may not be Attitude Era, but like there's a realism to it that I'm buying into this. It's not like that vanilla cookie cutter promos that you're used to seeing.
CM Punk even
And
cursed.
like CM Punk, so, dude, that's the CM Punk, Drew McIntyre,
We're getting to that later, right?
and
But
we're getting to that
I
later.
thought it was a great move by Drew McIntyre. Oh shit, let me get rid of the mic. Oh, by the way, it's PG. Yeah, we're still in that era. I know we don't want to be yet, but we're still in that era, yeah.
Yeah, but like, and I'm glad that also, like, apparently that was not scripted. There are bullet points of what they were going to go over, but it wasn't scripted at all, which a lot of these guys and girls can talk. Yeah, so let them go. And we're seeing more of that, I think, here. I don't know. Yeah, you might be right. It might be too soon to say it's a new era,
But if you want a new
but it
era, get
certainly
excited
seems
about it.
heading. Yeah, it certainly seems like we're heading that way. It feels fresh.
I don't see them going to like a PG-13 R-rated when they go to Netflix. I think they'll keep the PG
No.
for a while, but it's the reins will be looser on Netflix, of course.
Yeah, like I think there's things that you can be more meaningful, and I love the use of social media that they're using as well. Like, keep that going. Like, I think this regime, they understand that the audience is not stupid, you know, and I think they're rewarding us for our knowledge and for us being invested into these characters on and off air.
I watch these shows live. You don't, because you have a life. You watch, if you can watch it when you can, but you have to watch the clips on YouTube. Green Man did the same thing because, you know, he has a life too. But in this day and age, with, you know, Reels and TikToks and whatever, all that, whatever Facebook calls them, the attention spans have grown smaller. No one wants to sit down and watch 3 hours uninterrupted. Which I thought was a smart move what they did after Raw went off the air. Their social media is still recorded and picked up the aftermath. A bonus, if you will, for social medias. And yeah, social media is where it's at. These clips, these like 3 minute clips, that's where it's at.
Oh my God, what The Rock did. Like basically after it was done filming, he said, I don't give a fuck.
Fuck your script.
And just...
I don't give a fuck about the script. I don't give a fuck about the air.
was
Okay.
brilliant. I said before, like, yo, The Rock is going full blown Daniel Day-Lewis here.
Yeah.
Like, he believes this shit is real.
It's great.
It's also like, yeah, like give me more of that. Like, I am so invested in a lot of these matches just because of like how real it feels. And I haven't felt anything like that since probably the Attitude Era.
Well, nothing in the last 20 years, 24 years, connected with you until this year.
Not to say they didn't connect with me. There have definitely been things that have connected with me, but like just like the, again, like the realism aspect of it. I don't necessarily know how to communicate this effectively, but like
it was like 2 years ago.
I don't want to undercut like any of the stuff that happened the last few years that have been really good, but like this just feels different.
2 years ago, I think they were starting. They wanted to try to name it. This is now the reality era, mm-hmm. but that never stuck. Obviously, because it wasn't reality. Now we're Vince is gone. The main promo was just bullet points, no scripts. It was just raw emotions. So we're on the cusp again. If you want a new era, you might be getting it, but too soon to tell. Give me 24 months. 12 months now. We're away. This was in January, so less than that. But we'll see what happens.
Yeah, WrestleMania season, like things tend to get hot. I want to see this continue afterwards. I'm really going to be curious about the Raw after Mania. But Putty, moving on here, let's go into Becky Lynch. Becky Lynch has been trending quite a bit this whole week because of her new book that's out. She's doing a lot of press for it. She's been saying a lot of different things that we could probably get into all right here. One of the things that caught a lot of people's eyes seems WrestleOps at WrestleOps. NXT, this is a quote by Becky Lynch, by the way. NXT, that's a place that does a great job with multiple stories with women that don't all revolve around a title. That's what our division needs, more stories that don't revolve around a title. That's Becky Lynch in an interview with Sports Illustrated. Buddy, what do you think here? Why do you think that there aren't more stories in the main roster for women?
I don't know. Yeah, the talent's there. Maybe they're not used to writing for women. Maybe they're not used to writing for stories without championships. We're getting a taste of it now here with Liv Morgan, Becky, and Nia. Now with Jade Cargill and Damage Control. The hints are there. I talk about it all the time. It might be better if there's a mid-card title. It's hard to just focus on one title. But that roster is so deep. Again, the Royal Rumble did not have any superstars or surprises or legends. So, yeah, I think it might be time and going to this new era, if you will, to change that. Because Chad Gable is doing great stuff with his storylines. You can easily do that with somebody else. With the women.
That's someone else that's like using like a real aspect of their lives that making you invested. That's the thing. Like what I'm seeing a difference now is like you're seeing a lot more like mid-carders as opposed to like the last few years where they are getting more of a story. They're more like they're utilizing their social media as well to get their story out. And like the men can do it, the women can do it too. Like if anything, like, we've talked about time and time again how a lot of the women on not even just WWE but all throughout all of wrestling are kind of outworking the men.
Yeah.
And there's room, especially for a 3-hour show like Monday Night Raw, for example, for like multiple women angles. Not necessarily just matches, but angles that could be easily worked in there. And Becky's right. I mean, like, why don't we have that? If anything, it helps build new stars.
Not related to it, but similar is what I was really, really enjoying what they were going with Nikki Cross, where she would just be stoic and just stare at the camera or stare away, not flinching. I felt like they were going somewhere with that. That could have led to some story of like, what's her problem, what's her deal, or some offshoot that did not involve a title, did not involve an A-lister woman superstar, but it developed a character development that could lead to the audience, like myself. Oh, where's this going? Well, they dropped the ball. That went nowhere quick. But there's
I haven't seen Nikki in a bit.
Weeks, months, maybe. I think she was in the background a couple weeks ago, like just doing that, but wasn't acknowledged.
But they did. They are starting to do stuff. I think, like with Maxine Dupri and Candice LeRae, that whole thing was definitely catching buzz. Like they use a real life thing with Maxine mm-hmm. into a storyline here, and actually, it's building sympathy for Maxine.
That was just 1 week. This week, not on air, on the socials. Her and Candice and Indy kind of had a falling out because Indy didn't do what she wanted to do. So they're using, again, they've always did use great use of their social medias, but that could be leading to a story. But you need to give it more TV time to see where that goes.
Yeah. Give it some time.
Easy to have it done on TV.
Oh, easily. Easily. Yeah. I mean, like, Becky's got a point. It's something I definitely hope to see more of. Like, you talk about like a woman mid card title. I agree, there should be one. But again,
at this point in 2024, common agreements, yeah.
Right. But I think that does fall into the trap of Becky's talking about. It's about the title, you know, like there's more than just a title. And I actually, it's a pet peeve of mine too. Like at one point in the men's roster too, like, you know, all the main storylines were just about the title, about the title, about the title. And give me something else. Give me something where like the title is also the focal point, but like
You look at the
there's more stuff going on between.
how the last couple of months with Ray and Santos. That story, that's a story. That's a soap opera story. Yo, I don't give a shit. There's no title needed. It's all about passion, love, betrayal, and that could easily move on to the women's roster in some aspect. So the potential is there. You just got to get focus on it because the idea of women not being wanted or wanted to be seen or athletic is gone. That
It's totally
now that
gone.
Vince is gone, that is. Look at the way women are focused on UFC now that UFC is part of the umbrella. I think we might start seeing a shift and change, and I hope we do because, boom, the sky's the limit. With now
You
Alexa
know,
Lopez and Zelina Vega, that's stuff there.
Oh, totally, totally. And they're going to get their shine on SmackDown next week. But real fast before we move on, I want to add something onto this, what Becky's talking about. It's not just the women. Tag teams as well, I would have to add to this. I feel like there's so many times you're seeing tag team wrestlers, the division. It's all about the title. It's all about the title. It's all about the title. And there's like no substance there. And that annoys me. Like,
Yeah,
give me some more heat with the tag teams.
that's a little difficult because I see what you're saying, and I just watched the A&E Rivals. Again, great show. Check out the A&E stuff. They do great work. And I know people who don't re refuse to watch that stuff because what else can I learn? I was talking to AJ a couple days ago. Whenever I watch these A&E specials, I always learn something. Someone who's been watching for 30, 41 years, I always learn something. And they did a great episode on Rivals with the Dudleys, Hardys, and Edge and Christian. Again, that was always for the title, but even the matches that weren't for the title, the two teams that weren't for the title, they elevated tag team. We need that kind of rivalry again to elevate tag team
Yeah.
wrestling because it's there. They have the talent there. They were doing a good job, what, 2 years ago? Yeah, 2 years ago they were doing a good job building tag, even last year. But that need to unify those titles. But
It was really like New Day versus the Usos. I can
oh.
remember modern day like history as far as tag teams having like a solid feud.
That was one of my
Other
favorite.
than
That was
that,
one of my
like,
favorite feuds of the last several years. Yeah.
yeah, I mean, like, other than that, I really nothing really else comes to mind. I have the talent, but you know, let's get more invested here.
Yeah.
But buddy, that is all I have for the news.
Let's move on to TV.
It's time for this week's TV Takedown.
I'm sure you have other stuff here, but if you want to spend the next segment talking about just Raw, I'll be fine about that. What a fantastic episode of Raw was. I know there was so much hype going into it because it was Chicago and they want to add more seats and this and that. They were altering the stage. Fucking home run. One of the best episodes of Raw I've seen to date. But anyway, what on this episode was trending? If you can narrow it down.
Yeah, dude. So we're going to be talking about two different things here on Raw. You're right. Honestly, like people, a lot of people are saying best Raw ever, best Raw since the Attitude Era. Dude, this is probably top five Raws of all time, I think, for me,
Wow.
for so many reasons. But let's dive into it. Of course, one of the biggest things trending was the end of Monday Night Raw. Public Enemies podcast at the Enemies PE3. The Rock beating Cody Rhodes to a bloody pulp in the Reign is some of the most supervillain shit I've ever seen in WWE. This shit is a movie. That's all caps there. He's right. I mean, that shit was a movie. It was, again, remind me of Training Day.
There's another
I have
movie
to
that
ask
reminds
any.
me of, but I just can't think of it. In the Rain, they get beat. I'm trying to think of, I think it might be a superhero movie. I'm drawing a blank.
Oh, man. It's just the size difference too between The Rock and Cody, the blood, like all of it was just so fucking good. And props again to the production team. Killer job there. But Public Enemy is talking about the most supervillain shit they've ever seen. So I have to ask this, buddy. Going to WrestleMania right now, is The Rock now the bigger heel than Roman Reigns?
I don't know. Yeah, The Rock was being a dick. but he comes out on Brooklyn in Brooklyn on Monday Night Raw. He's going to get a huge pop.
I don't know.
The roof's going to blow off Barclays Center. It always does. Anytime the Rock music hits, he's going to get a big cheer. He'll step in the ring.
But so does Roman Reigns, though. And everyone acknowledges him when he goes the whole acknowledge.
That's true. Good point.
Thank you.
Good point, dude. The fucking XFL fucking thing you got going on is paying off. But yeah, maybe. I'm still not buying it. It was just a fucking.
You're not buying The Rock as a heel. Dude, that was some cold-blooded shit he did.
Yeah. It was cool.
Yeah. Okay.
I didn't even notice this, so props to these people who pay attention to this stuff, going to the production, the shot that all of a sudden the truck in the background happened to be.
Yep.
John Cena and Stone Cold talk about foreshadowing. Okay. I believe it when I see it.
Both of which may be at WrestleMania, actually.
Maybe, yeah. So nice how much of that's done to foreshadow or just to keep the internet trolls guessing. Either way, mm-hmm. Awesome. Okay.
What's holding you back?
I don't know. I really don't know. It's just the fact. I don't know. Maybe because I don't see him as The Rock anymore. I see him as Dwayne Johnson. I'm seeing him bloody Cody Rhodes in the rain, get a custom belt made that says Mama Rhodes and smear his blood on it. And then the next day, I'm seeing him buying children's toys in Target. Like, I've never seen the Roman Reigns do that. I understand it's a Hollywood persona.
He's a businessman.
That might be my cynical, lifelong wrestling fan who's just views a certain way. But again, I'm curious about his reaction Monday. Because again, he's a heel, but everyone cheers him. But you're right. So they cheer Roman Reigns too. So
they boo the fuck out of him when he speaks, when he does these different things.
It's stupid stuff when people boo when you dock the sports teams or the hero. Okay.
So is Roman Reigns the bigger heel then in your eyes? Even though Roman Reigns kind of gets a similar reaction?
Yes. He's been around longer. He's done more heel stuff. He's never won a match clean without help. That's heel stuff. He's condescending. He's a dick. He's a prick. He's
so cool. The Rock blindsiding Cody Rhodes.
Yeah.
Earlier night, telling him, I'm going to make you bleed. And then following through, making the man bleed, talking all that shit, whipping him, even after the cameras are off, whipping him with a weight belt, like Mama Rhodes.
It happened once. I need to see the follow through. I need to see the follow through. So how does he come back from that? What is the reaction he gets? How does he act towards the crowd towards that? How does he react to the other people he's interacting with in the ring? I need to see what happens next. We've seen heel turns. Oh my God, what just happened? That was fucking crazy. The punch, the knockout punch, the heel turn is the next appearance. How it lands, how it sells, how the crowd eats it up. If his music hits and he comes out and they're booing the shit out of him, he's a bigger heel than Roman Reigns, yes.
But who's getting booed so much when their music hits other than Dominic Mysterio? Then by your logic, then Dominic Mysterio is the biggest heel in all of wrestling.
I want to say all of wrestling. Moose is up there. Shout out to Moose. I don't even listen to the show. Again, agree to disagree. I don't need to fucking defend myself.
But do you see what I'm saying?
No, I see what you're saying, especially with the crowd does cheer Roman Reigns when he comes out.
Yeah.
And I understand the fact that what I'm saying does not make sense. I clearly understand that. Because as I'm talking out loud, hearing in my headset, I'm trying to comprehend it. But there's something about this Rock heel turn that I'm still not. Fuck this guy. I don't know.
Fair enough.
Something's missing.
I do think this, though. I do think we could dispel any theories that The Rock is a secret agent for Cody Rhodes. I think Monday Night Raw completely confirmed
that. I was not thinking about that.
Full-blown bloodline.
I wasn't even thinking about that. I was just enjoying the moment in the moment. But, yeah, that makes sense, yeah.
Yeah, I was enjoying the moment in the moment, too, but I've had a week to digest it, pretty much.
But yeah, man, you have a good point. Because everyone's saying The Rock's going to cost Roman the championship.
Hell no.
But now why would he?
Hell no.
Yeah. I wasn't even thinking about that. Good job. Now I'm even more fucking confused.
Oh man, this I am hyped for this. Like, I can't wait for WrestleMania, dude. But moving on here, buddy, sticking to Monday Night Raw, another huge segment happened between CM Punk, Seth Rollins, and Drew McIntyre. Lots of people talking about this. Sean Ross Sapp of Fightful.com at Sean Ross Sapp. That entire Punk Rollins Drew segment felt unhinged, and I love it. And a lot of people were sharing the same sentiment, like how good this shit was. It did feel unhinged quite a few times. What do you think CM Punk will face first when he's cleared from injury? Do you think it's gonna be Seth Rollins, or do you think it's gonna be Drew McIntyre? What's the bigger attraction here for you?
He's coming back at SummerSlam, right? That potentially in August. We're still 4 months away, right?
Yeah, I think I don't know when in August SummerSlam is, but it seems like that could be the case.
I would say Drew McIntyre, just because he's the one who injured him. He's the one who cost him his WrestleMania championship match.
It's crazy how like things change, right?
Like, what would Drew be doing right now?
Right. Like, Drew's stock has been soaring like crazy ever
You've
since CM
been
Punk came back.
So hard on about Drew McIntyre for the last several months. And I like Drew McIntyre too, but I'm not waving the flag on Drew McIntyre like you are. Now I am.
This is the best version we've seen of him.
Now I am.
Okay, all right.
Because I get maybe because I knew it was going to be Seth Rollins and CM Punk.
Yeah.
But the way he just carried that flag and picked up that ball and ran with it to the end zone for a touchdown, now I'm on the Drew McIntyre bandwagon.
It's like almost like it's almost like he really did pray for this.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And the fact that we found out that it wasn't scripted, they had bullet points, like you said, and just to see like the raw emotion, like the reality, how they're feelings, and the way Drew McIntyre caught Punk off guard when he did the rehab punch, and the way CM Punk hit him back. Well, who chose you?
Right.
Like these jabs back and forth that you could obviously see, they were like, oh, I wasn't expecting that. It did come off
Right.
unscripted.
Especially like apparently you're not allowed to say Vince's name anymore.
No.
So like, so that
why
was a
would you
good, yeah.
do?
I feel like Drew kind of smirked. He's like, ah, well played.
Yeah. He did. He laughed. He's like, okay, I see where you're going.
Yeah.
Checkmate. I
I
fold.
don't necessarily know if Punk got in trouble for that in the back or
No,
not,
he didn't.
but like.
He did not. I heard there was a hush, like, oh shit. But then they moved on.
Yeah. He dropped a shit bomb in there.
And they cut to Drew McIntyre, picked up the microphones. Oh, by the way, we're PG.
Yeah.
But you see also Cole and Pat McAfee's reaction. They're like, Cole's like, what the fuck just happened? It's like,
Right.
I just love what we're doing right now. This like non-unpredictable reality era that we're in is like, oh. Especially I think we talked about commentary last week too. Right time. And that segment alone was an amazing segment.
And clearly, like,
hope he keeps it up.
this working relationship between Punk, Seth, and Drew, it's working.
Yeah.
Like, yes, I do think they don't like each other. I do buy that. But at least they're able to be professionals about it. And apparently
Yeah.
that is the case. Like that has been
They get
reported.
along backstage, I heard.
Not, well,
I mean, they're not best friends.
They're
They're not having
cordial.
drinks,
Yeah, they're not
but
right. They're not
they're
having
having meetings.
drinks.
They talk about they talk about what's going on, and then they go their separate ways. Yeah.
Because they're professionals and they know there's money to be made. Like, it's going to sound like a knock on AEW, but here we go. Like, that would not exist at AEW at that point.
I wasn't thinking about that, but maybe.
Because, like, a lot of people are expecting or hoping that CM Punk was going to crash and burn in WWE after his departure from AEW. And what have I been saying time and time again? Like, the parameters in WWE, or like who's in charge and what goes on there and the people in that locker room, Punk, that can't exist. It wouldn't happen. It would be squashed right away. And I think Punk knows that, especially since he's been in WWE.
Yeah, we're not
And I
backstage. We don't know what's going on, but it seems like what I'm reading, it seems like he's acting like he knows that.
Right.
Yeah.
And he knows this is the last shot.
I wonder if it was a gamble on his part or just, since it wasn't scripted, loose lips sink ships, he dropped that curse bomb. Dipshits. Thankfully, he wasn't in trouble, because it just added to the segment and especially Cole's and Seth and Drew's reaction to it. Yeah, I don't remember what the question was, but great segment.
Yeah, I also love the fact that CM Punk, when Seth Rollins came out, like his reaction was so genuine. Like you couldn't plan for that.
Tuesday morning, I'm at work. It's like 8:15. I'm on Instagram, and I go, "Here's this month's meme or GIF," and it was him reacting to Seth Rollins coming out. I was like, "Yeah,
it was perfect. It was so natural." So here we are. So CM Punk is going to be involved with WrestleMania. It's not going to be the host of WrestleMania like I predicted, but he is going to do commentary for that one-off match.
And I hate to cut you off, but that's a great move. Great move. CM Punk's gold on commentary, as you all know. But the fact the way they sold it, like, I'm going to make you guys interesting, something that you guys haven't never done since I left. Just an added caveat, and then Seth Rollins sitting out. You're going to be on the sidelines calling my greatest hour of my career. Just adding to the fucking dynamic, to the storyline that has layers. This is an onion. Has layers.
So many layers. Yeah. So many layers. It's like, I don't know which match I want to see first.
Yeah. Who does Punk face? Doesn't matter. Give me both. We're winners. The storyline's already built in. We have 4 months to this. And the way Drew McIntyre called him out, too. I'm a fan. I'm sitting here ringside. Do your moment. We're going to see you for months. This is your moment. And you just let the spotlight. Take it. I'm going to come back to anything you say because I'll be here next week. You won't be. I hope this leads to more unscripted segments. I mean, you can't give someone like a Maxine Dupri non-script because you don't trust her enough. She's still up and coming and learning. But these guys.
She's not comfortable yet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's not a knock on her. Hope no one takes that. She's up and coming. She's green. Green, talking about, let's use a industry term. But now that you have confidence in these three guys to go out there unscripted, I hope that leads to a more renaissance of. Because what's the big plus on AEW? There's no scripts. This might be a huge plus to lure MJ. I don't think he's coming over here. And my big knock of MJF not coming over here is you can't script him.
No. Well, huh. I do think we one day will see MJF in WWE, but I understand he secretly signed a new deal with AEW.
That's the belief within a. That's the belief within WWE. So we haven't heard anything on AEW's part, but this is definitely a huge part. If you're an MJF fan, you should be excited.
Yeah. Oh, well. Now I'm excited. But, you know, speaking of AEW, let's move on over there, buddy. So, you know, there's other wrestling going on besides WWE. I know it's hard to believe right now because we're red hot in WrestleMania season. It's just been so fucking good right now. But let's talk about this here. A big night, big upcoming night for AEW Dynasty. Drain Maker at Drain Bamager. I swear I'm going to get that right one day. Swerve Strickland versus Samoa Joe is official for Dynasty in St. Louis. We're finally crowning Swerve here, right? Right, Putty? Is this a moment for Swerve Strickland? Is he finally going to become AEW World Heavyweight Champion? Your thoughts?
I don't see how you don't. If he loses here, who's next for Samoa Joe? I can't think of anybody.
I don't. They have an endless roster. I don't know.
They have an endless roster. Do they have an endless competitor, viable competitors for Samoa Joe? No.
Hook?
Okay. He just lost him. He just lost.
John Moxley, I think he's coming back, right?
Yeah, okay, great.
Hangman Page.
Is he hurt? Isn't he hurt?
Mm. Right. Who else? Brian Danielson.
I think this might be Swerve's moment. But we said that last time.
I do.
There was some doubt in our minds because I thought it was too soon for Samoa Joe to drop the title.
I wasn't on the same train as you. I said Swerve.
You called
not
it.
Winning
you called it. Inside joke. I don't know if you know that. I still, in a way, feel like it's too soon for Samoa Joe to drop it. If you want to build him as a dominant champion, but again, I don't see anybody else. His next opponent could be, and Swerve is red hot right now. He's nuclear. We talked about Rhea Ripley last week. She's not losing next weekend. And I don't see Swerve losing here.
Oh, you're doubling down now. Like, you had some doubt, but you're leaning towards Rhea winning.
Sorry, there was no doubt. There was no doubt.
Now you're completely doubling down.
There was no doubt. If I portrayed doubt, I apologize. There was no doubt. She's winning.
Wow. Okay.
And I just see, but I feel like we said this last year at WrestleMania with Cody Rhodes. I would be surprised if Swerve loses. Let's put it that way. I'm not going to say he's definitely going to win, but I would be surprised if he does not win.
Interesting. Interesting. I
feel like, honestly, there's more heels on AEW than faces in the main event scene that could vie for the title And now that Swerve is one of the top baby faces in that company, he has more
options. And that just happened so organically. Right, it's not even like he didn't change or anything like that.
Yeah.
Like, it just, the fans, he's so good that the fans had to cheer. Kind of like when Randy Orton, remember years back when he was with Legacy, he was just so good as a heel that eventually they started cheering.
More recently with Seth Rollins. He was a heel.
Right. Right. Yeah. And then Seth didn't change.
He did not change, but the crowd changed their reactions towards him, and now he's world champion. I feel like we could be going that route with Swerve Strickland.
I think you have to. I think now is the time. I know last
If not round, when. When's the next pay-per-view?
Exactly. London? If not when. Like I know it's a triple threat, but he lost the last one.
Yeah.
Like, he's got to win this one. Samoa Joe, I think they did a great job with him as champion, but it's time. Swerve Strickland is it. He is the total package for AEW. Like, yeah, I just rewatched the match actually with him on Dynamite. The dude can go. The spinal tap he did was flawless. I haven't seen someone do that since AJ Styles back in TNA. TNA. Flawless. And then I saw footage of, like, after the match of, like, you know, him with a fan with Prince Nana. And, like, he's just so over. You know, and that behavior, what he was doing, kind of reminded me a little bit of Cody Rhodes, right? And, like, he's just stepping into that main event role seamlessly. It's like he was built for this. Yeah, no, they're lacking. No,
MJF's
hardcore.
Gone. MJF took that mantle. Again, they didn't turn him. The crowd turned him.
Mm-hmm.
Now that he's gone, who's the top babyface in AEW?
It's Swerve. Who else?
3 weeks ago, who was it before they turned Swerve? But it was leaning towards Swerve because he's so fucking cool. Entrance, song,
he's so
his
cool.
Moves, his promos.
And Prince Nana.
Yeah, of course. That goes without saying. Right. But yeah, who's the top babyface? I mean, please give it to him. He deserves it.
In the men's division, we're talking about.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, like, and plus it will be AEW's first Black World Heavyweight Champion, correct?
Yeah.
Who better? Who better?
None.
It's his time. It has to be his time. Like, I would be shocked if they didn't execute this at Dynasty. Because then, if he loses, then what happens, right? Where does he go?
That's what I was asking you. Like, not only, what is, and who's that for Samoa Joe? What's next is just such a, I don't know. But here we are in 2024, and like, still the first Black person to do this. Good for him.
Well, I mean, AEW's
five years old
yet? Company.
Yeah. So even if you be the first in anything, it's awesome. Especially when it comes to like race and culture and stuff like that. And he's been, who better than him on that roster to be the first African-American person to be champion? Who else on that roster could do it? Right now, he's untouchable.
Dude, he's their superstar right now. Like, you have a lot
He's their Cody Rhodes.
This is going to sound like such a knock on the division in AEW, but I really don't mean this as a knock. There's a lot of really good wrestlers on there, but they don't have a whole lot of superstars. And I feel like Swerve is a superstar.
Well said. Was it you who posted something? Somebody commented on a post. And yeah, you know, AEW is great wrestlers, but they don't have sports entertainers. All right. But yeah. Swerve Strickland's on a different level than anybody in that AEW roster right now. Because, and it wasn't given to him. He earned that.
So, clearly. I mean, the dude's always trending.
Always. He must see TV for me. You have to stop and watch him.
You have to. And if you haven't watched it, watch Swerve Strickland.
Whose house? He's definitely worth it. Again, that just we went to the Jet game 2 months, 2 years ago. And people were saying, whose house? And they were chanting back Eli's house because it was a Jet game. But like, what is that from? It sounds familiar. What is that? And then that was Swerve's thing.
Boom.
Yeah.
All right, buddy. Let's move on here to SmackDown. Former AEW wrestler was trending quite a bit tonight. I don't know if it's a SmackDown debut or whatever, but like her official contract signing, if you will.
Official debut, yes.
Official debut. Crispy Wrestling at Crispy Wrestling. Jade Cargill shows up and takes out Damage Control. Bianca, Naomi, and Jade Cargill versus Damage Control at WrestleMania is happening. Not official yet. We haven't heard official word about this, but it does seem like to be the case here. Putty, your thoughts. Is this the right move here for Jade Cargill?
I called it.
He's such a dick.
Yeah, I think so. You want to give her her WrestleMania thing, moment. Her entrance tonight was just fucking. When I was watching it, it felt like I was watching
Superstar.
A WWE 2K video game. It was just that flawless and that visually stunning.
No, she my is, wife saw her on SmackDown, right? And she said she had no idea who Jade Cargill was, but she's like, "Who is this? She looks like a superhero."
The contract signing, or when she came out at the end?
When she came out at the end.
Okay, yeah. I think it's a good move. Again, most of us know who she is. To a small audience who does not, we had that tease a couple months, weeks ago. Yeah, this is a great way to introduce her.
I disagree. Actually somewhat disagree here.
Of course you do.
Well, I've agreed with you this whole show. But here's the thing. Like, all right, so I agree in the fact that Jade Cargill was packaged fantastic. You know, she looks like the real deal. She looks like $1 million. She looks like a genuine superstar. But, right? I just feel like I don't necessarily know if teaming her with Bianca and Naomi in this feud, if it necessarily makes sense. Like, I don't, I feel like it would have been a bigger deal for Jade, actually, if she debuted to Raw after Mania.
That was our intention, that initial expectation, yes.
Yeah, or no, I'm sorry, or even SmackDown after Mania.
Whatever, like, yeah, but now you have this thing going on with Damage Control and Bianca and Naomi.
And I understand that. Like, yeah. Who's the third? They need...
Who's the third?
Exactly. Like, we were wondering at one point, like, hey, Bianca doesn't have a spot at WrestleMania. She's just going to, like, you know, make a save during the Bayley match. There's no way. Like, Bianca's not going to have a match at WrestleMania.
I'm talking about storylines that involve a title. This is a good one.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it is. That's just my own personal thing. Like, don't get me wrong. I think this is, like, it's like an 8 out of 10. But I feel like her making a debut, the Raw after Mania, SmackDown after Mania, either one, would have been like a 10 out of 10. That's a thing for me.
And I always feel
just really nitpicking.
I always feel uncomfortable talking about this as a single straight white man.
Okay.
I just don't feel like I have any business talking about anything when it comes to stuff like this.
Should we pause this?
Because I've been on TV my whole life. But to see three badass, strong, dominant female black women on TV is just such, it's something I'm learning the last, 5 years and maybe even longer, how representation is so important for young people, especially girls. You're a father of a daughter.
Yeah.
If your daughter was African American, to see these three badass women who are all African American women, badass too. Now I'm understanding, coming around to the meaning of representation. I feel like that picture of them three standing in the ring looking down on these three women is just, wow, that's fucking awesome. See all the videos went viral when it came out, the trailer for Little Mermaid. These little girls are like, oh my God, that's me. Again, I don't feel comfortable talking about this, but it just seems like that's something should be part of the conversation.
We can go further and talk about the WrestleMania main event when Bianca and Sasha Banks had that match.
Good point, yeah.
You know, like, they both were emotional about it because they knew the significance of that moment.
Yeah.
Totally. And you're right. Representation absolutely does matter. That's one cool aspect here. I was definitely thinking that when I saw that powerful shot of the three women there standing together, looking down at Damage Control as they were scattering away. This is going to be good. You're right. I mean, this is a moment here where it is a non-title storyline.
Yeah.
Which, it's a subplot of the main plot, right?
Still a plot, though.
It's still a plot. I do think all six women do get involved in that main event, that match with Bayley and Io Sky. But yeah, no, I mean, overall, like, strong debut for Jade Cargill. She looked like $1 million. Her promo, going back to the unscripted promo aspect that we were talking about before, felt very scripted.
Yeah.
Am I wrong?
Yeah. I don't think they have enough trust in her. I mean, she's still, only 2-3 years in the business?
That's true. I kind of forget that.
Her first real promo on Raw, WB programming, yeah, give her a script. See how she does. Let her earn your trust, and then she's somebody who can eventually go non-scripted.
I feel like she was fine on AEW in the mic. Am I wrong? Am I not remembering that right?
I don't remember her. I don't remember her having any iconic, memorable like promos, but her promos were never came across to me as being bad.
Right.
Yeah.
So right.
Her in-ring style to me never came off bad, but it took the last what 6 months training her to be WWE style.
Yeah.
So let's give her some months.
With Triple H today, she had a lot of bad habits, pretty much. He alluded to that.
That makes sense. A lot of indie stars do when they come into the national stage, from what I heard from indie wrestlers. So yeah, I mean, this is a great moment for her. Great debut. What better way to debut except the Raw after Mania's? What better way to debut than at WrestleMania? The 40th.
Yeah, I mean, like she's going to have a WrestleMania moment. So that's huge. Like that cannot be.
And not many people have debuted at WrestleMania. I guess can you count this as a debut because she was the Rumble? I guess not.
No, she debuted at Royal Rumble again. Monster performance there. I feel like they're bringing her along slowly. They're bringing her. They're not ready yet to give her that full one-on-one rivalry.
Yeah.
Like, you know, she's going to be in that ring sharing the spotlight with five solid wrestlers with experience, and especially in the grandest stage of them all. So, like, she's only going to get better from here.
I try not to nitpick, but, like, forget what – don't give me the wrap-up song. I'm going long tonight.
Don't give me the, okay.
There was a press conference that Triple H was asking about Jade Cargill, and he's like, she's not – let's train her. When she debuts, there'll be point. She'll be ready. And they did. Here we are. What better moment? And there was something I read was people. I didn't hear this in AEW, so please maybe correct me if I'm or this person is wrong. People are bitching that she needs more training in the ring in AEW. You can tell that she's inexperienced. You can tell that she was green.
People were saying that
she needs more
people
training.
People were saying that.
But then she got more training, and people are bitching that she's getting more training. Going back to the point I mentioned, Lou or something, you can't make anybody happy.
I've definitely seen her quite a few bit. Like, you know, Natty posts those videos of her in her training. You've seen Jade Cargill quite a bit in there.
Yeah. Like, so she's getting more training, which you guys are saying she needed, and now she's getting it. You're bitching that she's getting more training.
Yeah. And, like, also, like, I think Triple H and all the masterminds in WWE right now, they know what they have with Jade Cargill.
And
they
no
know
rush.
She's a fucking star.
And there's no rush. And just, you gave a great taste shot the Rumble. Here we're not WrestleMania, and it's like I said, what better way than these five women who can protect her if she's not ready? And if she's not ready, these five women will tell, "Oh, you need to do this, this, and this, X, Y, and Z." So at the After Mania show, going into I think Backlash in Paris, should be better. She'll get better and better as we see her, much like everybody else.
Yeah, I'm very confident in that. Like they, again, like she's. She's going to explode any moment in the WWE. Like she, a very strong showing tonight. I do want to see how she does in the mic.
Yeah,
you know, get better, more comfortable.
She will.
You know, like that was very short what they gave her, which also then made me believe like we haven't seen a lesson Jade, and so that was probably intentional.
Maybe.
So yeah, no, I'm looking forward to see what she does next because she's got a lot of qualities in her. You just can't teach. You know, like she
can't
has it.
Teach that. How that saying was. Yeah, quickly before we wrap it up, we skipped over NXT tonight, but I was watching NXT for, and it had been every week. How do you not make Carmelo, talking about storylines, Carmelo and Trick Williams, the main event for Stand and Deliver, your WrestleMania, especially with this okay story build between Ilya and Tony D? And what NXT does, they've done it forever, these promos, I think First Look or First Take, whatever it's called, and they just do a solid way to just break down rivalries. We found out, 2 days ago, Carmelo and Trick will headline Stand and Deliver. I was already happy about that. Well deserved. These two men are going to tear that fucking house down. So excited about that main event for Stand and Deliver Saturday, WrestleMania night, day one, I should say, 12 o'clock on Peacock. Well worth it. Congratulations to both of them. They deserve it.
Saturday is going to be a long day.
Yeah. I remember I missed first half of Stand and Deliver last year because I was sleeping. Then I had to go back and watch it because I missed. Because they start out with a bang. They start out hot, and I'm assuming the same thing this year. So if you have time, if you wake up early enough before you go to your WrestleMania party, why don't you check out NXT? There's a lot of great storylines building to Stand and Deliver NXT. Check it out. Peacock, 12 Eastern. Yeah, Marcus, on that note, any go-home thoughts for you?
I understand you. Okay.
I got something to fucking say.
Yeah.
I was so pissed off this morning.
Mm.
And it carried on to the most of the day because I can't let shit go. If you are following us on Podbean or wherever you listen to us, you'll see a couple days ago, we posted a shot of BCW. We just recapped Welcome to the New Year so you get more familiar with the storylines going into Queen of the North 5. At the show, I was hanging out with the governor. And we were talking out here in my apartment, just getting ready to go out, having a couple drinks, and somehow WrestleMania came up. And we came out to the fact that they mentioned this would be the third time it would be brother versus brother WrestleMania. You know, we got Owen, and that, I saw today, there was a someone put a graphic, Owen versus Brett, WrestleMania 10. Jeff versus Matt, WrestleMania 25. And now Jimmy versus Jay, WrestleMania 40. And the governor said to me, well, you know, it's kind of disappointing that they neglected Undertaker and King. I feel bad that they didn't, you know, they're brothers, right? Keep kayfabe alive. Marcus Davenport Schwan. I saw this post on Instagram today. Mm-hmm. And some guy commented, oh, well, you're forgetting about the Brothers of the Destruction. Oh, my God. These idiots commented. You're dumb. Undertaker and Kane are not real brothers. Did you not know that Undertaker and Kane are not brothers in real life? They're not real brothers. You're stupid. You don't know nothing. Idiot! Ah! He was going for the obvious joke, the layup, the alley-oop. And these turds had to just destroy him. He knows they're not real brothers. Nobody on the face of this earth, except my friend Jonathan, believes Kane and Undertaker are not real brothers. Idiots. Just let the man have his opportunity. Stop shitting on everybody. Oh my God, I was reading these comments and they kept coming in because other people commented the same thing and they were same comments they received. Undertaker and Kane are not real brothers. We know that. They were not. That's why they're not included in that list. But it's an obvious joke if you want to keep kayfabe alive. I was so fucking annoyed. And it's such a stupid thing to get blood boiling anxious over. But idiots! It's a joke!
You can't say shit on social media anymore, dude.
No, you can't. There are so many times I've typed out a comment, and I'm like, I'm not going to I don't want to hear it. Even it's a joke, because I would have probably made that same comment, not expecting to be fucking railroaded for being an idiot. That poor guy. These poor guys who commented that obvious layup of a joke. Ugh.
Dude, so it's funny, man. Like, you know, like wrestling Twitter especially. Like, I see people talking about getting a whole big debate and argument about the fact that Samoa Joe, like I said, has a shirt about being the final boss, right? And like, who's calling themselves the final boss right now?
Oh, really?
Okay. The Rock. So, oh my Lord.
I can imagine.
Oh my Lord. The final boss is a common name. You know, like, it's not, like, new. It's not anyone in wrestling invented that.
No, it was King Koopa in Super Mario in 83. Ugh.
Like, it's people are just wild, man. Like,
I have social media too much because I always want to comment on something. But I know there's a lot of idiots and trolls and warriors out there. Like, oh, no, it's actually, no. Can't have fun anymore, apparently.
There's always like the assholes out there. Like, I recently posted something about, because I was seeing like people celebrate the crumbling of the entertainment industry right now, right?
Oh yeah.
And of course I felt a certain way about it, you know, because like, you know, it's affecting my family, it's affecting my friends, you know. And so I wrote a post about it, like, you know, like, hey, you know, instead of like celebrating this, like, you know, keep in mind it's affecting like real regular people, you know, trying to supply for their families. It's doing something they love to do. Yeah, you know, just a reminder, like, you know, of like putting a face on like what's going on here, right?
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people, like, you know, got a lot of praise for that. But then I had some people that were shitting on that. Believe it or not, I couldn't believe it. Like, calling me a pedophile essentially for being in this industry.
Really.
Yeah.
Wow.
I know, because I work in social media, I know that was a troll. And I know that was bait. I usually stay away from it. But I couldn't help myself because I felt personally attacked. I had a back and forth with this person.
Maybe someone calls you a pedophile. You have to defend yourself.
Yeah. Well, call me and basically anyone who works in this industry a pedophile. It's like, dude, whoa.
Jeez. Gee, I wonder what they voted for.
All right. Oh, dude, I immediately was thinking of T. I didn't want to go there.
What letter of the alphabet can I associate with them? Q. Q is a letter, if you don't know.
Q. For those playing at home, it's Q.
Yeah, that's a shame. That's fucked up.
It's so fucked up. Like, social media is so fucking wild sometimes.
Most of the time, it's toxic. I just don't want to deal with it.
I think, like, I've seen people more and more, like, taking a break from it and whatnot.
I've seen you post stuff for Twitter on X asking basic, fun questions, and these guys answer so stupidly. I'm like, this guy's a dick. I just want to comment. I think I mentioned a couple, like, 2 months ago, I sent you a screenshot. I'm like, this guy is fucking pissing me off. He's not getting the jokes. He's not playing along. He's being a fucking turd sandwich.
I see it all the time. All the time. Like, we will have some tweets that, like, do very well for Shot of Wrestling. People are engaging, which is great. You know, but once in a while, you'll see a couple of asshole responses on there, and you just ignore it. I 9 times out of 10, like, mostly 10 out of 10, I would say, I ignore all that stuff. This person really got to me, man. Like, I was actually really pissed off myself that I responded. I even said to the, I normally wouldn't respond to something like this, but here we go.
Again, if someone calls you a pedophile, there's no way to not want to defend yourself on that, especially with everything going on.
But the funny thing is, Putty, I knew exactly what this person was doing.
Yeah, there's a lot of people like that too. Like, I live in want the engagement, yeah.
And I gave it to him. I was like, fucking asshole. You never do this.
No.
Well, here we are. Yeah, social media, man. Like, people don't know how to take a joke. People also don't know how to have empathy. People just... What's the line from Mike Tyson? What do you say about social media? No, I'm going to pull it up right now.
Oh, everybody's something until you get punched in the face.
Yeah, social media made you all way too comfortable with disrespecting people and not getting punched in the face for it. Right on the money. Right on the money.
Also, I wanted to give a huge shout in the beginning of the show, Dennis. We just lost track. The fact, one of my biggest irrational fears, anytime I drive over a bridge, I grip the steering wheel tighter.
Oh, my Lord. Yeah.
And now, what happened in Baltimore, God bless those men and women who lost their lives. Just to see that bridge crumble like a house of cards, like it was made out of paper mache, I was shocked.
Holy fuck, man. I couldn't believe that.
And, you know, shout out to the fucking crew of that boat to call it SOS. Shout out to our Baltimore first responders to shut that bridge down. Because when I woke up on my phone, I see all those notifications. Most of them were titled, possible mass casualty event.
Yeah.
And the fact that...
It could have been disastrous.
I hate to say the word, thank God, when 8 people died. But thank God it could have been much higher.
Way, way higher. Yeah. I mean, like, the Baltimore police responded within, like, they had 90 seconds to shut down the bridge.
And I see the video. You see cars crossing the bridge. But the moment of impact, I didn't see any cars, thank God.
Yeah.
It's just, what a fucking weird thing. And now you see your conspiracy theories talking about social media.
So my mom, I was talking to my mom about this, right? And she asked me, like, do you think it was a terrorist attack? That's a conspiracy theory going out there. And Fox 5 is perpetuating that hardcore.
You'll get that
number. And I said to my mom, like, they sent a Mayday out.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
We've seen terrorist attacks happen. Don't you think a terrorist attack would want as many casualties as possible? Do you think they're going to send a Mayday out right before it crashes?
Again, thank God. Again, I'm not comfortable saying that, but it happened at 1:30 in the morning. Imagine it happened at 1:30 in the afternoon or rush hour. It's just...
Right. Again. Like, this was... I think they're investigating in the matter, but, like, it was a power failure from what I understand.
The boat lost power, and then they finally got it back, but then they lost it again. You see the video. The lights go on and off twice. Yeah, so this Easter...
What happened to the captain? Did anyone on the ship get hurt?
No, nobody on the ship's hurt. Everybody's ship's accounted for. Everybody's fine.
How did that not? I guess because
they're inside the ship. They probably braced for impact. From what I heard, I don't know if it's true or not because I didn't investigate any further. I was in the middle of something, but the people on the ship cannot leave the ship due to the investigation, so they're stuck on that ship, which doesn't make too much sense to me, but I'm not an investigator, so who knows?
Right.
But yeah, that video was just fucking wow. And I heard that mass casualty event. I'm like, holy shit. And so again, disturbing. One of my fears of, like, I always cross, what if we collapse and fall into this? What am I going to do? And I always heard that if you get stuck, if you do get immersed in a body of water, roll down your windows because it's impossible to break it when you're in there. Roll down the windows, let the water inside the car. That's when the water fills up, take a deep breath, and then you can swim out. And then I read today that you shouldn't do that. Like, what the fuck do I do?
Right, but then again, like, I saw the thing that was being shared. It's saying, like, you know, take off
the headrest. The headrest? Yeah, they're pointed at the end.
But not every headrest comes off.
Most of them should.
Not all.
Every car that I've seen, I don't know. Especially, but most of the cars.
Modern cars.
They should, because that's the point of the headrest. It's one of them, too. Because they're pointed at the end. You can crack the window.
But then it's the same point, though. Okay, so I'll go along with this. So you're cracking the back.
Back window, yeah. Before
the back merged. Window. But it's the same. It's the same thing as, like, opening a window.
It is different because now we'll talk about it off air way too long. I could probably go another 20 minutes talking to you about this, and I probably will once we end the show.
You know what I'm doing? If my car is going airborne, I'm going to water, I'm just unbuckling the seatbelt, open the door, and I'll take my chances to go that way, flying out.
Well, if you land in the ocean, you can't open the door.
No, but if I'm airborne, though. If I'm airborne, I'm going to the water.
And then I don't want to. I did.
I don't know.
I don't want to.
I'll probably be freaking out.
Make things a sour turn. So let's end the show. And I'll talk about it when the show ends about like what happens to people in the backseat.
Oh God. Okay. Oh,
Mark, where can you find you on social media?
I'm bummed out now. Just...
YourFavoriteActor.com. Find all the social medias. Yeah. You can find YouTube clips, interviews, and Shadow Wrestling. Make sure you vote, rate us 5 stars. Hopefully, give us a comments. What you want to see, not hear. Get your input, interact with us on social medias, Shadow Wrestling across the board. Your comments, questions can be read in a future episode. Make sure you stay tuned to this very, very feed for the next episode of a shot of BCW previewing the Queen of the North, April 20th, Ridgefield Park, New Jersey. Limited tickets are still available. If the front row gets sold out, the Queen of Queens will give us a special surprise. So make sure you want to buy the front row if you can. That's it. We're way long, but it's WrestleMania season, and here we are. Enjoy WrestleMania wherever you're watching it. There's going to be parties in Brooklyn, I think in the city as well, for Jimmy J, AJ Penn. Stay tuned to their social medias for them. So for Mark Schwann, I have been your host at Mark J. Putty. Until next time, party out.
Hey, baby, I hear the bell ringing, hip tosses and body slams. Oh, my. And maybe you seem a bit confused. Yeah, baby, but I got you pinned. But I don't know what to do when I see them with that golden case. They're cashing it in.
Authority all in my face. What is a man to do? Good night, everybody.